The first reading is taken from Isaiah 25, 1 to 9, and the page in your Bible, if you're following it, is 708. I'll just give you a few seconds if you want to find that. Isaiah 25, 1 to 9, page 708. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold, the city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honour you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the ready in their distress, a shelter from the storm, and the shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthlessness is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is stilled. On the mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On the mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people and the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, and you'll find that on page 990 if you're following that one. It's the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks, Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Yvonne. I'm afraid what I'm going to read out, say now has got nothing really directly to do with the readings at all. But the thing that's been on probably all our minds, and certainly on all the news channels this week, is the situation happening in the Middle East, in the Gaza and in Israel. And I've got an article here about, I'm going to read out from a chap called James Mildred, he wrote it for the Care organisation magazine. And it's about how Christians might respond to the situation, how we should pray. I think that's very important, and I think it's probably quite critical. And I read some words, first of all, from Jeremiah 31. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. As we know, it was Saturday last week. Many Israelis were finishing their 7-day long Jewish festival of Sukkot. Suddenly, sirens blared and echoed around the country just before dawn. But this was no drill. Thousands of missiles bear down on Israel from Gaza, fired by the terrorist group Hamas. Buildings were decimated. Many, many lives were lost. Simultaneously, armed Hamas fighters used bulldozers to break security fences on the Israeli-Gaza border. Israeli soldiers on border posts were taken by surprise and shot down. Hamas fighters also used speedboats along the coast and fired on soldiers and civilians. The invading terrorists marched into Israel, into towns, opening fire indiscriminately. Israeli civilians were killed at random. Some were taken hostage, including women, children, and the elderly. In other words, the terrorists targeted the most vulnerable in society to act potentially as bargaining chips in negotiations with Israel. At a music festival, hundreds of young people had been dancing through the night, but what was disco became shooting practice for Hamas. They arrived in vans and killed 260 partygoers and abducted others. In total, more than 2,000 people are thought to have died. Many thousands more are injured. Journalists from the ABC News were able to go into Kafaz Aza, a kibbutz near the Israeli-Gaza border. They saw entire families killed with their bodies lying in the street. Nearly every home was bullet-riddled. The psalm says, "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" As the days since this attack have unfolded, more atrocities have been uncovered. The discovery of 40 Israeli babies who have been decapitated by terrorists. Many are calling this Israelis 9/11, a reference to the terrorist attack on the two towers by hardline Islamists. The Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, said it's the darkest day for the country since the Holocaust. What can we say in such response? I'm not an expert on the Middle East or diplomacy, so I write not as an expert, but as a Christian who cares what happens in God's world. While there are parts of this whole awful situation I find hard to understand, I do believe the Bible helps me and equips me to respond. Here then is my imperfect attempt to articulate some kind of response. Surely the first response must be to lament. In the Bible, lament is a passionate expression of grief and sorrow. It's deeper than mere sympathy or empathy. Lament forces you to pause amidst whatever you're doing and focus on crying out to God. And part of lament is also confusion. When we're deeply troubled by why God should allow something like this to happen, lament is often the only appropriate response. Helped by the Spirit's intercession, we pray for peace, we pray for justice, we pray for comfort for those who've lost loved ones. We grieve because human beings, including babies and children, made in God's own image have lost their lives. We also lament that another war has now started. Wars of any kind mean devastation and destruction and further loss of life. Already, Israel is massing more than 360,000 troops on the border of Gaza. What happens if Syria and Lebanon join the fight? What happens if other terrorist groups try and start similar actions elsewhere in Israel or around the world? In our lament, we also pray for de-escalation and for peace to prevail. How can we not? And let our prayers for peace extend to the streets in the UK as well. What's happened in Israel and Gaza has led to a more than 300% increase in anti-Semitic incidents here in the UK. Jewish restaurants have been vandalised. 6 assaults have taken place. There have been 3 instances of damage to Jewish property. 66 incidents relate to abusive behaviour. And 22 incidents took place online, according to the Community Security Trust, an organisation which represents British Jews on issues of racism and policing. The UK government has felt the need to give an extra £3 million for security outside Jewish synagogues and even schools. How utterly sad that even some Jewish schools have had to close over concerns for the safety of its pupils. Part of how we respond as Christians is to reject utterly, entirely, any expression of anti-Semitism as wholly and completely incompatible with God's designs. God calls us peacemakers. This means we are active agents in bringing the peace of God to bear in the context where we live. We look for opportunities, bring God's shalom to people we encounter. If you live in an area with a high Jewish population, pray for opportunities to reach out. Our lament must also encompass grief and prayers for those living in Gaza as well. In war, civilians on both sides suffer enormously. Rockets fired by Israel into Gaza do not discriminate between terrorist and Hamas member and ordinary citizens. In Gaza, families have been torn apart by what's happened. Mothers have lost sons. Fathers have lost daughters. On top of that, there's growing humanitarian crisis, with Israel cutting off water and electricity. In time, this will lead to the most frail dying first as vital resources run out. Perhaps you can think of the First Minister of Scotland, whom is at Yousef. His wife is Palestinian. Her parents are trapped in Gaza. They go on to visit family in Gaza when the conflict started. They were still there, unable to get out. They sent back word home that supplies are days away from running out. Calls for a humanitarian corridor to allow people to safely flee the conflict are surely justified and something we should support. Let's pray for Scotland's First Minister and his family, because the tension and waiting must be awful. Be careful what you say and what you read on social media. As Proverbs says, a fool takes pleasure in understanding. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Alongside prayer, I would urge discretion and caution in what we say and read on social media. This conflict is highly polarizing. Even churches, who enjoy a high measure of unity, can be pulled apart very quickly. Some are militantly pro-Israel. Others are militantly anti-Israel. Perhaps you've experienced something of this yourself already. Maybe friends have taken to social media, updating their Facebook profile pics, Instagram stories, expressing support for one side or the other. When this happens, you can feel pulled into taking a side or expressing an opinion, one way or the other. But it's vital to say it's okay to admit that you're not an expert and your knowledge of what's going on is limited. It's okay to tell people you want to read and learn more before coming to a position. and it's okay to find ways of expressing some nuance. Not about the wickedness of what's happened, not about the horror of loss of life, not about the fact that Hamas or terrorists committed the total destruction of the Israel Jewish state, but in terms of what happens now and how the response plays out, there might well be room for nuance. For example, I think Hamas are terrorists, and the BBC is foolish in not saying so. I think Israel has a right to defend itself. I think there is such a thing, in limited circumstances, as a just war. But how do you draw the line between retaliation and self-defence? What proportion of vengeance is acceptable? Is sending hundreds of thousands of troops into Gaza wise? Is cutting off water and electricity, which means frail people in hospitals in Gaza will die more quickly, an act of justice? These are complex questions. I would urge all Christians, especially those on social media, to exercise real wisdom and discernment about what you say and how you say it. What might be crystal clear to you may not be as clear to a brother or sister in Christ. It's one thing to express your opinion, it's another to do so in a way that actually puts a stumbling block in the way of others. Let us distinguish between those questions which we can be clear. No BBC, terrorists are terrorists, Hamas are terrorists. And let's be equally honest about the complexity of the situation and not whitewash away the sins of either side. So we need to pray for the salvation to come to the Middle East. Something I hope all Christians can agree on is the obvious need for the gospel in Israel, Gaza, the West Bank, and across the whole Middle East. Praise God, there are Palestinian Christians, Jewish Christians, and believers in Lebanon, Syria, Iran, and other countries in the region. But they are a minority. We pray for those in authority, as Timothy said, and we pray for the work of salvation. Imagine what would happen in terms of relations between nations if there were revivals and reformations in the Middle East. Imagine what the results would be as churches spring up, made of Jews and Arabs, singing praise to Jesus together. God's arm is not too short. We should pray for his mercy to be extended at this time in unparalleled ways. As Revelation tells us, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The conflict and tensions in the Middle East are complex and deep-rooted. But amidst the complexity, there's some moral clarity. What the terrorist group Hamas have done is wicked. Israel have human rights, as do other nations. We can and should pray for a response that's proportionate, while we may disagree about what is proportionate. And we should pray for wisdom if we engage on social media. But above all is this, let's also pray for the gospel to spread in Israel and Gaza. One thing war and bloodshed do for us as followers of Jesus is to leave us along the world looking for a new world. One where there'll be genuine, eternal peace between us and God and between nations. Praise God, that day is coming. Come, Lord Jesus. I urge you to lament, to pray for justice, for restraint, for peace, and above all, for the gospel of Jesus to triumph. Because when the gospel triumphs in a nation, and it says in Isaiah, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning forks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It's time to go straight into intercessions on that. Lord, we cry out with sorrow that a conflict has erupted between Hamas and the State of Israel. We cry out against the unimaginable atrocities that have already occurred. against the senseless loss of life, the dangers of the conflict spreading and drawing in nations and terror groups. We cry out for de-escalation and for peace to prevail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we cry out against any form of anti-Semitism. We hang our heads in shame of the anti-Semitic outbursts in our own land and pray that these are bound up. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we cry out for the afflicted, ordinary people of Gaza, for those who have lost children, parents, loved ones, businesses and homes due to bombing and shelling, for all those who are suffering from the cutting off of water, electricity and medical supplies, especially the weak and elderly, for all those who are trapped. We pray for the safe return of the in-laws of Scotland's First Minister, Humza Yousaf. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, guide us in our thoughts and responses to a difficult and complex emergency. Lord, we pray that you will hold the urge for disproportionate vengeance and that will sow the seeds for future violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those in authority that they make wise decisions and display statesmanship. We pray alongside the Christian minorities in the region that these churches have a revival, so that the power of the gospel is heard, that the atmosphere is changed, and there is hope from the transforming power and presence of our risen Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We can say the Lord's Prayer together in the word that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.